This hour of the Jason Rance Show is brought to you by Heider Construction. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
This just happened moments ago. House Democrats passed the $739 billion inflation reduction tax bill that does not actually reduce inflation, but it does increase taxes. And dramatically, obviously, when we're talking about $739 billion, it dramatically increases spending. And when you spend a whole bunch of money during a recession, turns out not a good thing. And this comes as the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business put out an analysis. This is their second piece, their second report. It came out just today ahead of this bill. Says, in this bill that reduces inflation, it would maybe have a 0.01% reduction in inflation. So in other words, it doesn't reduce inflation. And yet, not only did they decide to pass this tax bill and health care bill and climate change bill, not only did they decide to pass it anyway, they're lying to you about it. They're lying to you about it. They're lying to you about what it does for inflation, and they're lying to you about what it literally does. Now, how did Dr. Kim Schreier vote? She's a doctor. Did you know that? Did you know that? Hey, did you know that? Did you know she was a doctor? You knew that?
Did you say a doctor?
A doctor.
A doctor.
Yep.
Wow.
Of children. I think they call that a child doctor.
Or a pediatrician.
Or that.
Is that too big of a word for you?
But is that what you drink after a night out?
No.
The next morning because you got to get those electrolytes in you?
Pedialyte.
Oh. Talk about that in another segment. Kim Schreier voted in favor of this bill. So if you live in Washington's 8th Congressional District, if you're listening right now in Issaquah or Sammamish, if you're listening in Black Diamond, Auburn, Bonnie Lake, if you're listening to us right now in Leavenworth, I'm sorry for always mocking your stupid city, but you need to vote for Matt Larkin. Kim Schreier just voted to increase your taxes. In fact, every single Democrat did. Every single Democrat. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, she was on with CNN earlier today talking about how this bill is just the bee's knees.
It is a win. It is a huge win for the American people. If you think about, Brianna, the last 30 years and how special interest groups, wealthy special interest group, has tried to stop negotiating Medicare so that we can bring prices down.
We'll talk about that in a second, but they're going to negotiate prices down on prescription drugs for Medicare. Just keep that in mind.
This bill is going to bring prices down for the American people as you look at drugs and pharmaceutical drugs, especially for your seniors.
Okay. So let's just I'll let her finish in a moment. But the cap on drug costs for senior citizens, that starts in 2025. That starts in 2025. Assuming everything goes according to this bill as planned. That starts in 2025, and for the rest of you, lower drug prices for everyone else, the non-seniors, maybe in 2026. This isn't happening tomorrow. They're being told, we're being told, that we're going to feel this immediately. That part I agree with, just a different kind of feeling. I feel like I'm going to puke as a result of this bill being passed.
If you look at what it's going to do for climate change, there's been special interest groups, again, for 30 years, those climate deniers.
They deny the climate even exists. That's how evil they are, those climate deniers. They literally deny the climate.
Who have stopped, who have tried to stop us for putting in significant investments like clean and for a clean energy future, for our clean energy, for clean energy jobs. This is going to do that and also continue those ACA premiums so we keep lowering costs for health care for Americans.
Started with health care. She went to clean energy. Then she went back to health care again. Let's go over some of the clean energy. I don't even want to call these perks, even though they're trying to sell it at that as that. So, for example, they say homeowners who install residential solar panels or solar battery systems that you can't afford, you will qualify for a 30% tax credit for the installations. So you can't afford to install the technology that doesn't quite work the way that we would hope it would work. And by the way, in order to get that 30% tax credit for the installations, that's subject to the state that you're in, the state rules created by the state that you're in. The electric vehicle credits, they give that to the American people with this bill. So you get to buy a car you can't afford, a car that you don't even really want, so that you can drive it in a city or a state that doesn't have the infrastructure to support the EV car you just purchased. You'll get some rebates depending on your level of income. And again, this is something that's not going to happen tomorrow. It comes with zero rules and regulations that still need to be written by the U.S. Treasury. Oh, but I'm told, despite all that, this brings down inflation. Except now, apparently, the word on the street is inflation may not even exist. Yeah, my head just exploded, too. Tell us, Pramila Jayapal, Congresswoman from Seattle.
And it is ultimately going to lead to a reduction in overall inflation, but most importantly, to the budget that people have every single day. Inflation is like a theoretical word that economists use, but what families feel every day is the up or down of costs.
So, how do I say this? That was a dumb comment. You do know that inflation is not a theoretical word that economists use. It's an actual word. Economists do use it. Yes, that's true. Also the media, also politicians. In fact, you literally have the name of the bill, the Inflation Reduction Act. But it is a theoretical word. And I suppose maybe, I guess I kind of understand what she's saying. She's saying when you say inflation, that's not what people think. They just look at their bills and it's either up or down. You do understand that the general increase in prices that all of us are experiencing right now, or the fall of prices, all of that is tied to that theoretical word that economists use. It's all tied to the purchasing value of our dollar. And the dollar's worth has gone down because of the out-of-control spending during the pandemic by you guys after you closed down economies. Y'all did that. Republicans didn't do that. You did that. Now, I certainly don't say Republicans also aren't partly to blame for out-of-control spending. But in this instance, they're not. In this instance, we can tie it directly to the pandemic spending that Democrats pushed. And oh my gosh, you try to get a straight answer out of any of these Democrats on how this particular bill will lower inflation. It is dizzying.
This, unarguably, is going to bring down costs of health care for people.
Okay, that's Representative Steny Hoyer. He's also on CNN. Undoubtedly, this is going to bring down your costs.
Some in the short term, as I just said, will maintain the subsidies that we give so that people's insurance rates.
Okay, just real quick. When you maintain something, it means it stays exactly where it is. Unless this is another word that has been redefined. Or maybe that's a theoretical word that bad faith Democrat politicians use in order to justify their votes. But when you maintain a subsidy, that does not lower the cost of health care. It maintains the cost to the individual of health care.
Will not go up from their standpoint in terms of the cost that they have to incur.
Not going up, I guess, is going down now.
Making vaccines free will bring down costs.
Making vaccines free. I mean, I get free vaccines. You get free vaccines. I don't know what vaccines he's talking about. Perhaps he's talking about the free flu vaccine that you can get right now without even insurance by pretty much any drugstore. How does that bring down inflation, getting a free vaccine? Please explain that. Let's say that we were all paying $20 to $40 for a vaccine, whatever it is, whether it's COVID, which obviously we weren't paying for, or the flu vaccine. Okay. How does that bring down inflation?
Because.
Yeah.
It does, because it brings down inflation.
But how does it bring down inflation?
Because it brings down inflation.
No, I know. I'm saying, how does it bring down inflation?
Oh, I get it. Because it brings it down.
You're saying the same thing. Oh, I hear you're telling me that it brings it down. I'm asking you why. Okay. I got the what. I got it. Tell me the why.
Okay, free vaccinations, it brings down inflation by bringing it down.
Oh, my God.
You don't get it?
Okay, Congressman, why don't you push the little button so we can play some music to get us into traffic? Because I will say this, you bring to the table as much as Congressman Steny Hoyer and Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal does. That's an insult.
Thank you.
I saw a smile on your face, and that was not a smile-worthy praise. That was a frown-worthy insult. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770.
What's trending? Your health.
Harborview is not accepting non-emergency patients because of overcrowding. Now, when we tell you that, people instinctively go to COVID concerns, right? That, oh, there's so many COVID hospitalizations. That ain't it. But understand that if you're on your way there and you've got a non-emergency situation, you're being diverted to another hospital. However, that still doesn't seem all that promising.
We are now seeing impacts across the entire healthcare continuum.
Okay, so Dr. Stephen Mitchell, who's the medical care director over at Harborview's emergency department, speaking with Woke 5 News / King 5 News, you're sending us to a place that also is dealing with overcrowding? Okay. So what exactly is causing this? Now, in large part, the big reason why we're even having this conversation right now is that Harborview and many other hospitals, they've got a whole bunch of patients there who are not sick, but they are still taking up beds. Here's Shalene Whitaker, who is the Washington State Health Association president.
You know, we agree that this is alarming. You know, it illustrates the continued challenges of not being able to discharge patients who no longer have a medical need.
Yes, it's of course incredibly challenging and maddening that you've got right at this moment about 100 patients who don't need to be in the hospital and are waiting to be discharged to a long-term care facility. We're talking about rehab facilities. We're talking about elder care facilities. But unfortunately, those places are understaffed. What's to blame for that? Well, in part, the COVID vaccine mandates. And again, I get it. They're saying, no, that's you are overstating the issue. Sure, we lost some nurses. We lost some doctors. Sure, we lost some staff. But it's nowhere near what you claim until you look at the people who just left, like retired, or just decided to leave on their own, weren't technically fired, pushed out over the vaccine mandate. That tells a different story. That tells a different story, not in every single hospital or facility. But that's what we saw, at least in part. And while at the same time that was happening, you had the same level of patients coming in. And that was causing more work for the depleted staffs at some of these hospitals, some of these elder care facilities, some of these rehab facilities, which put additional stress on the staff to the point where a lot of them decided, because they were burnt out, to leave, to get jobs as traveling nurses, which, by the way, pay more. This was a problem that was created by politicians. And again, I will happily call out Republicans who are responsible for bad things. This case wasn't Republicans. It was Democrats. So what exactly can be done now? Please don't ask Shalene Whitaker.
With any complex problem, you know, the solutions, you need a multitude of them.
That means nothing. You saw that on a poster somewhere, and it's supposed to be motivational. It is not. It makes me wonder whether or not you have anything of substance to say. Oh, you don't? That was the last clip we have from King 5 News? Exactly. They really don't have any solution at this point. And we're to be told, according to the CEO of Harborview, Sumner Cluenno Wally. I didn't need her middle name. You could have just given me the last name.
Well, I gave you what was in the copy.
I didn't need it. Just say the CEO lady. She says this.
This is definitely the most challenging time of the pandemic.
This is the most challenging time of the pandemic? This right now.
Number one.
This.
Top of the list.
The most challenging time of the pandemic is when you have people who are not sick in your hospital. Not the time where you were complaining about, oh my gosh, we're going to be overrun with these COVID patients. You better set up a whole bunch of beds that will never actually be used by CenturyLink at the time, or was it T-Mobile by then? I can't remember. Now is the worst time. Not the time where we didn't have a vaccine, not the time where we didn't have any therapeutics or even knowledge of what COVID was. Now is the time. Okay, well then we must be fine. then I'm no longer going to consider this an emergency. This is the worst time. Gee, thank you. Push the button.
What's trending? Crime.
Oh, let's take a look at crime here in Seattle and elsewhere. Burglars broke into a Ballard post office yesterday morning, very early in the morning. They used a truck to steal a kiosk, and then they had nothing to show for it because apparently it was without anything of value inside. So some dudes, I believe they were dudes, drove up to this Ballard post office, and I should take that back. I don't see gender. My apologies. They, slash them, drove up to the post office, and that post office, they, slash them, has a door to which the people in the truck got a chain, put it around the door, put it towards the truck, drove it off, pulled it off, went inside, took a self-service postage station, because I guess inflation, am I right? Is that the only reason you're going to take? I understand taking an ATM. Don't necessarily understand taking a self-serve postage station. But okay, you do you. They sped off.
Very scary. And I recognize and talk with all of these postal employees. And that's a pretty scary thing for them to go through.
Well, again, they didn't go through anything, so relax. They were not there. This was early in the morning. And believe me when I tell you this, sir, they do not want to talk to you. Stop bothering them. They're just trying to do their job. This happened early in the morning. They were not there. No one was around, including cops. Remember, we live in a city with police officers that are not able to work because of the vaccine mandate. And on top of that, you have a whole bunch of open slots. We are down over 500 officers. And by the way, if they were to show up as you are speeding off with that self-serve postage station, they couldn't chase you anyway because of the Democrat policy, the law, that banned vehicular pursuits unless there is probable cause, not reasonable suspicion, that a violent crime had occurred.
It's bound to continue. I mean, they're doing these smash and grabs everywhere.
Yes, they are. Why? Say it with me. Democrat policy. You didn't say
Democrat that. Policies.
Oh, my God. You're just off your game, man.
Democrat policies.
No, I already said it. I said to say it with me. You would be awful.
You would be awful.
In a barbershop quartet. The post office called in a glass repair company to fix the door. Here's the guy who runs it.
We try to keep the businesses open. Like, that's our main goal first.
Well, your main goal is to fix the problem, but okay, fine. The result is actually keeping the business open, but that's okay. That dude's name is Reza Ali Abdul. He said the post office was one of five stops that his company made just yesterday. Why? Because these crimes are happening everywhere.
I'm a small business owner, and I really feel bad for small business owners that this happens to them.
However, I will be honest and say if this didn't happen to them, I probably would not be doing so well in my own small business. So a little bit of inner conflict. He didn't want to say that on TV, but I guarantee you he was thinking that. And it's okay to think. I'm kidding. Well, he says they're constantly busy with replacing these windows.
That's every day, five calls. And times there are times that we just simply booked out. If you look in...
But is there not another small business that does that? Every day he's getting five calls? I feel like this is just a big shout to maybe invest in a glass repair business right now.
There was another story like a month ago about a glass repair shop in downtown Seattle.
Was it this dude?
No, it was a different one. They were like, yep, a phone's ringing off the hook.
The whole picture is not good. Because I'm running short on supplies, I'm running short on staff. It's harder for me to do business. In general, is not good for the whole society.
Got my thumb, you dummy. Ow. I'm not going to do a Detective Rants segment here because we're running out of time. But if I were the detective on the case, I have one suspect right now. The guy who benefits directly from all of this. And it's me, because it gets me on TV and it gets me lots of page views. You thought I was going to go after the glass guy. He might be an accomplice. I'm not saying either way.
But it's the radio host with really good hair because he gets TV promotion off of it? Okay.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Remember, by the way, all of this can be solved if you get better politicians in office. That's on you. I can't do that. I can't change that. You can, all of us collectively. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text right now. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Friday. Today, as it turns out, is the last day of the Museum of Pop Culture's Dragtastic Summer Camp, where kids as young as 12 years old learn to be a drag star, because pretending this is appropriate is now a way to prove that you're an evolved progressive. By sexualizing kids, it means you are woke. It means you get it. Now, I was thinking about this story in a more general sense, because in a way, we have different kinds of camps that maybe we can compare this to, right? You've got computer camps for nerds. You've got theater camp also for nerds, but mostly straight girl nerds and gay boy nerds. I mean, that theater camp. You've got sports camp, right? So is this any different? Why would we view this as any different? Well, the answer is yes, it is different, and we would view it as different because drag is sexualizing the person in drag by design. It is sexualized by design. That is what a key part of drag is. Not entirely. It's also about the performance, right? The theatrics. But it is sexualized by design, and you look at this and say, this is a camp for kids as young as 12. That is wrong. It's wrong. Do I view it as quote-unquote grooming? No. I don't like that term being used in the majority of these cases, because that's not really what this is about. This is about normalizing the sexualization of kids. That's not grooming. It's wrong. It's disturbing. And you end up getting kids like this one. And I don't blame this kid. I view this kid as a victim of bad parenting and irresponsible adults. But this child, whose drag name is Victor Hectomy, which is modeled after hysterectomy. And Victor Hectomy spoke with our sister station, Cairo News Radio.
So a lot of drag names have like puns in them. And I thought it was really humorous. I picked it out with my parents before I came to camp. It's like gender play because it's like a female procedure and a male name. God. And so it's just really cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. Removing the uterus. Hey, kids, isn't a hysterectomy cool? Yay! Do you think Victor Hectomy knows what a hysterectomy is? And what parent sat with the kid and said, yeah, that's cool. Thumbs up. I honestly don't understand that. I honestly don't understand that. What adult would listen to your kid say, I'm going to do something around a hysterectomy because that's cool. It takes away one's womanhood. At least the kid could probably define a woman. I'll give her that. This is absurd. Here's the website description of this camp. Calling all current and future kings and queens, explore self-expression in MoPop's week-long Dragtastic Summer Camp, led by Seattle performer Joshua Hancock. You'll investigate drag history and work together with local artists to create your own personas. You'll choose your name, explore hair and makeup techniques. I mean, that part I could do. And develop your character's stage presence. At the end of the week, celebrate your new drag personas with a private showcase. Why is it private? Shouldn't it be open to everyone? Because they're kids performing drag. You'll still allow it to happen, but you acknowledge that it needs to be done private. Now, the manager of museum education at MoPop, her name is Chelsea. She explains a little bit more about the intent here.
Drag camp is kind of a whole week dedicated to helping kids cultivate and curate their drag persona, from wigs to nails to costumes.
Okay. You're going to make them pretty, right? I remember the criticism of young girls in pageants. I 100% agree with the criticisms. And a lot of it used to come from folks on the left because folks on the right were participating, or parents at least who were on the right are participating. And a lot of us rightly called this out as sexualizing these young kids. There's a little bit more, depending on what you're talking about, depending on the organization that you're looking at, than drag, but it's basically the same thing. Why was that wrong and this isn't? because it shows support for, in your view, the transgender community. This is not about transgender people. Being in drag is not transgender. It doesn't make you transgender unless you don't take off the drag, which means you're not doing drag. You are, in fact, transgender. And you've got people out there who are pretending that there's nothing wrong with introducing this to kids at a young age. I'm not anti-drag. And if you were to tell me that this was for 16-year-olds and up, I might have a different view. Definitely 17, obviously 18. 16, probably I would say, okay, it's wrong. I don't think you should do it. But if you want to do this with and your parents are aware of it, okay. But 12? There's no line in which folks on the left will draw. 12 is the line? Or 11, I guess, is the line? Why is it inappropriate for an 11-year-old but not for a 12-year-old? I'm honestly curious about that. Are we going by bar and bat mitzvah rules when you become a man or a woman? What is a man or a woman? Well, apparently you can turn yourself into one. Here's Josh Scott Hancock. He's the headmistress of drag.
Drag is for everyone. We all put on some kind of drag day. We're born naked and the rest is drag, RuPaul says.
Yeah, RuPaul can say that. We're not all in drag. Just throwing that out there. First of all, drag is literally dressing up and presenting as the opposite sex. So no, we don't do this every day. I mean, Peyton did it that one time. We've got the photo up on our Facebook page. But still, I mean, you were not a pretty girl, but you tried.
A for effort.
I mean, I don't even know. If that was effort, I'm terrified. Maybe you should go to this camp.
We just had a conversation today in this room, in fact, about there's so many straight people coming into drag. And they can come into drag.
Just other than Peyton, straight guys are not coming into this camp. Let's be clear about that, okay? They might tell you they're straight. I suppose I believe that. Oh, yes, I'm totally straight. I would love to learn more about this, and then I can go home to my roommate and explain and explain all about the drag history.
Why do they have to have a roommate, Jason?
Because if they're in the closet, that's what they're doing. In this context, don't give me that look.
Drag for all, Jason.
Oh, my gosh. I'm to believe that, a whole bunch of straight men are coming in. Now, I take that back. I suppose in the city of Seattle, at least, that there are some straight men who are very, very woke. They come in because they want to prove to the world. This is more than a virtue signal, right? This is the next step past a virtue signal. The virtue signal would be the straight dude posting a RuPaul meme on his Twitter account just to show you that he gets it. In this case, it's going that one step further to really, truly prove that you're not just all talk. You support the drag community.
Understanding as long as you come into our space and you're wanting to learn the art form and you're willing to, you know, treat everyone like a human being, then you're obviously welcome.
Oh, okay, thanks. Victor Hectomy was welcome. In fact, he was introduced, or she was introduced. I think it's a girl who's dressed as a boy. I'm assuming this is a king. Well, if your name is Victor, that's a male name, but I don't know anymore. What if Victor isn't a male name anymore? I don't make the rules. But Victor Hectomy was introduced by her mother or his, I don't know.
My mom took me to Capitol Hill drag for the first time like 2 years ago, and that was really fun. But I've always known about it because my mom has like talked about RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff.
How old is this kid? It doesn't say in the article.
The article doesn't?
It doesn't say. The voice sounds young, and she was introduced to drag going to Capitol Hill drag race or drag whatever the thing is 2 years ago. At the youngest, the kid is 12. Let's just go with 13, right? Let's just go with 13 or 14. I mean, that's young to introduce a kid to that. Why do you love drag so much?
I've always loved drag as like a storytelling narrative and like how you can portray something with makeup and hair and like create a character without needing to like have a backstory and stuff.
Then why do you like drag? Because drag comes with a backstory. You're literally coming up with a name and a persona. You went through this whole drag-tastic summer camp and you don't even know that? Really? Even Peyton knows that. What was the name of your cheerleader when you were 17 and you did drag?
Peyton is gender neutral, so.
Well, did you spell it with an E at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I have two moms, okay. So I gay community already in that sphere. my mom thought was like, oh my gosh, you know, drag camp. And, you know, I'm not the best at makeup and I like being fabulous. So it was like a perfect match. And it was, yeah, just like learn some new skills.
What makes you fabulous if you can't do makeup? And isn't that leaning into a patriarchal society that expects women to know how to do makeup? I don't jibe with that. I say that as someone who's actually grown to be very good with his makeup.
Except yeah, the makeup, weird. You are.
The makeup I do is for television. But I know how to do a little contouring. Because I take notes. Every time I have a new makeup artist for my TV hits, I'm always all like, hey, what should I do? Show me technique. And they show me. And I got a new technique of blotting instead of just swiping.
Are you still mean to your makeup lady?
Oh, all the time.
You should be nicer to her.
She's mean to me, too.
She dictates whether or not you look good on air. And you're mean to her.
Let's be honest. I dictate whether or not I look good. And I always dictate looking good. Push that button. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. I saw something heartwarming last night on the YouTube. I got targeted with something that I knew was a story but chose to mostly ignore because we don't do heartwarming on this show. But then I just couldn't help but almost tear up. I almost teared up. There's a Little League game. It was a regional championship of some kind. It was between kids from Oklahoma as well as South Texas. And there was a moment in which the pitcher of the South Texas team, his name is Caden Shelton, threw a pitch and it hit the batter, Isaiah, right in the head. It hit the helmet, but at an angle that propelled the helmet off of his head, which meant it also hit his head. And the kid went down. How old were they? 13, maybe?
12.
12, okay.
12 years old at this level of Little League.
12 years old. Kid goes down. The whole crowd got quiet. Kids took a knee as they were waiting to see what would happen. And somewhat miraculously, I suppose, the kid ends up standing up. He was a little shaken, obviously, but he was fine. It's weird that they allowed him to continue to play, actually, but he took his base.
Ah, that's baseball.
Not when you're 12 years old. That's but it'll fine. So the pitcher on the mound starts to just break down because apparently they're friends. He knows him and he was concerned that he got hit. And then Isaiah, the kid who got hit, he comes over. He gives him a little hug. Gave him a little hug. It was all like, it's okay. You're doing great.
Very sweet. Very inspirational.
Yes, it was very nice. And for kids to be that nice, there's something wrong. Like we're being scammed. There's something wrong with this kid. Except I saw he did an interview last night with KJRH Television, and it actually all makes sense.
I see Caden getting emotional, and so I kind of tossed my helmet to the side, and I was trying to go spread Jesus' love and do what he would do in that situation and go and kind of try to comfort him and tell him that I was okay and that he knew. I was just making sure that he knew that I would be okay moving forward.
What a sweet kid.
Very mature answer.
I mean, also Jesus probably would have done the Gatorade into wine, but that was a very sweet gesture of him, and he was inspired by his religion. And, you know, we have conversation after conversation because we get poll after poll showing that young people are falling away from religion, falling away from institutions, religious institutions like the church. He got this inspiration from Jesus, from his religious perspective, to just be a good person. And as much as a Jew, I'm actually blamed for a lot of things related to Jesus. I believe in the historical Jesus. But I think that that's so inspirational. And I was like, hey, this is a good kid. This is a good kid. However, there was another part of the interview.
I was proud of myself.
I don't need you to be proud of yourself.
I'm such a good person, he said.
I'm already calling you a hero. And we all collectively say, young man, you are a hero for what you did. I don't need you to tell me what we already know.
After like replaying it and stuff, like to have the courage to go out there.
It didn't really take courage per se, but you talking about it now. kind of diminishes my support.
And like, because who knows, he could have saw me as trying to like fight him or throw a punch, but like I was proud of myself for being brave like that, I guess. So
okay, you know,
he's so proud of himself.
There was another moment, even though I told you to pull it, but mysteriously you decided not to. The reporter goes up to him and says, I hear your biggest dream is to be on the ESPN Sports Center top highlight, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, did you watch last night? And he said no, which is odd because if that's your biggest dream, you would think that you're constantly watching the show. He was on it. He was featured. And he's all like, oh, now that I'm finding out about it right now. I'm amazing.
That was part of the interview? I missed
that. Yeah, you did.
Oh.
You want to hear from the kid, the pitcher? His name is Caden.
The kid who was batting was like a really good friend of mine. And I hit him in the face and he dropped to the ground. And I thought he passed out.
Passed out, but you know,
terminology.
And he got up and he walked to first base and I started crying because I felt really bad.
And you're a baby.
And
I'm kidding.
He walked over and he hugged me and told me that I got this and I just got to breathe. And I just got to keep going. I thought, like, I really hurt him, and I was really scared of that at that point because, like, everybody was going to start hating on me and that he was going to, like, be injured and go to the ER and stuff.
Yeah, we got it, man.
And, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we know what it being hurt
is. I was just, like, scared that, like, I'm going to lose a friend and that, like, he could, like, get really hurt, like, his head busted open or something like that.
We know how it works.
And, yeah, I'm just glad he's better.
He was finna lose a friend.
Yeah. You know, good for him. I feel good about him, too. He's handling this well.
I didn't know they were friends until that. I didn't know that they knew each other previously. Mm-hmm. So that kind of changes the story for me a little bit.
How so?
I don't know. Like, then I expect that kid to go over there and kind of, like,
no, if they were
dap
real
him
friends,
up or whatever.
I would expect that he would razz him a little bit.
No,
that's what I would do.
I don't know.
And I see, I have a different take on this because I am a former pitcher in Little League, and I must have hit someone. I don't remember ever doing that. I must have, but I don't think I would react that way because I wasn't as mature as this kid is, and either of them. Still, I'm not as mature as either of them.
Hmm.
So kudos to them. Good for you. And who won? I just stopped paying attention after that.
Perlin, the kid that hit the pitcher's team won.
They took out the good hitter, Isaiah.
I mean, we don't even know that. We haven't seen his stats.
I think they said he was a good player.
Oh, did they?
I thought I heard that.
I didn't pay attention a whole lot to the package, more or less just the moment.
I'm just saying he might have hit a home run at that bat, but then got hit in the head. It's Jason Rancher.